It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy. So welcome back to Resin Mastery, exploring iCoat epoxy. This episode, Rachel and I are going to discuss what materials can you embed in resin. Rachel, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm actually great, thanks. It's been a great week. I know you actually have some fun facts for us today as we were researching this episode. So excited and looking forward to understanding what they are. But for our listeners, just so you know, if you want to find out more about what we do, you just go to artist.icoatproducts.com. And on there, you'll be able to see a bunch of the different things in our gallery that can be made and embedded within epoxy. But hey, Rachel, do you want to just go through the list of the things that you can embed in resin?
Yeah. So there is a plethora of things that you can go and encase in epoxy. However, the most popular ones are photographs. We've got dried flowers and leaves, and some of those are on our website, which is so cute. I was just looking over it yesterday. We've got small trinkets and figurines, glitter and sequins, wood pieces, seashells, beach sand, which is something that I've actually done before. Like paper items like maps or tickets, insects, which is super popular, and I'm sure you've seen it, you know, school or museums, and non-perishable food items, which brings me to another point we'll revisit.
Yeah, you're going to throw this fun fact out there. And I say, I would actually add to that as well. I actually had a hole in one playing golf and took the ball marker, the tee I used, and the ball, and made a little paperweight that had to memorialize that occasion. Now, I know as well, we said on their dry flowers, obviously the floral preservation business is huge, but not just for weddings, also for funerals, also to memorialize someone. And it's a great way to display all those bits and pieces of your loved one. And, you know, that's becoming a big business as well. So while we're on it, why don't you give us this first fun fact of what people have been encasing in resin?
Alrighty. So, the first one, I'll start way, way in ancient history. But some of the most ancient origins of epoxy. So epoxy does have a very surprisingly long history, and its roots do trace back to ancient Egypt. It turns out that the Egyptians used a mixture of beeswax and pine resin for various applications, including embalming and creating water-resistant coatings for boats. So I really think that's cool because this showcases the enduring nature of resin and the versatile material throughout history.
Isn't that crazy though, right? You think back, they even figured out then that if you mix a few of these items together, they harden, and maybe even because of their waxy value became waterproof. So they ended up using them on boats.
That's so cool.
We know from long ago that the Egyptians were a seafaring people as well around the Mediterranean. And obviously to do that, you need a boat that didn't sink. Joining pieces together. Where it's like, oh, there's a gap here, you know, and they're like, we've got to fill it with something. And I'm sure they tried other materials like mixing together mud and all that sort of stuff, but eventually figured out this way, which was amazing. And then the fact that they use it in embalming as well. Now, one thing I am sure of is that they didn't get it from us back then because I think we were doing it back then. Onto our list. So photographs. I've seen some really neat ways photographs have been used. Now, there is a few things to keep in mind when you're doing photographs, which is, and it's always good when you're doing with any resin, is to test.
Smart. Yep.
The last thing you want to take the most favorite picture of, you know, you and your wife or a loved one and then go, what have I just done to it? It's gone.
Luckily
now, most of the stuff's digitized. We just print out another one. But the chemical reaction that happens when you mix resin together creates heat. So you've got to be careful that that heat doesn't actually affect the photograph. And when you're placing it in something, it's really good to make sure if it is something you want to lay flat, that you actually secure it first flat before you then coat it with resin as well.
Like with tape, do you think?
No, I don't think you'd use tape. You can actually like put a thin layer of epoxy down first, wait till it gets to that really tacky stage.
Okay.
And then push it in. It's almost like sticky at that point. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That would pull that down, and then you can test with a small amount of epoxy over the top of it. Now, these are something that, again, Rachel, we were talking the other day about what, you know, things you can make for Christmas, things for make for birthday presents, things mm-hmm. you can make as gifts. What a great idea, right? To take someone you know making four coasters of a really great picture of them. Just really thin, like you know, table coasters, you know, with a picture of them in it. That mm-hmm. could be really cool.
Yeah, that actually sounds really cool. I would freak out if somebody gave that to me.
Yeah, that's true too. But, you know, if it's a family, if it's family members, or let's say you just wanted to, especially older people, they love photos. Because memories become huge as you get older, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, granny and grandma, if you sent your grandparents a picture of you in a coaster that they
they would love that.
There you go. Yep. There's the use. I think if you sent your friends it, they'd be thinking, what's going on with Rachel?
I'd be like, you're obsessed with me.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. See, that's something what you were originally thinking. Okay, so photographs. So there's a few tips on there. And we do have frequently asked questions on the website. You can go there and find out more information on them as well, on how to do things like that. And through our friends in the industry, we have some really great experiential meaning. They've done it. And they've worked with it to see mm-hmm. how things like that work. Okay, onto dried flowers and leaves. Now, it says and leaves because I've seen some just in, not just roses that they've dried. They've made sure that the moisture's out of them, and then they mm-hmm. do a spray coating on them. Then they encase them.
And
but leaves as well.
So, what's the spray coating for? Is it like a seal?
I think exactly. I think it's just a sealer. And
okay.
Tim over at iCoat was showing me one day, and there's a video online you can find where he's actually recoloring a dried flower as well. Mm. And this was really cool because obviously when a flower dries out, you lose some of that vibrance and color.
Yeah.
So you can add a bit of that back in with acrylic.
Okay. Yeah. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, so you can actually make it even more vibrant when you do that. Now, leaves as well, in the same way we were talking about the photographs, if you just put a leaf in epoxy and pour epoxy over it, it may go from the position you wanted it in to curl up or a different position. You're like, oh, I didn't want it to do that again. Mm-hmm. So that comes down to making sure you place those things correctly. Now, if you're doing a deep casting, like a high volume casting, you can actually use like a thin metal wire and push and place in the epoxy, and it won't create the gaps as long as you've got the heat correct and it's at the right viscosity at that point in time. But yeah, when you see those, especially when it's as a wedding bouquet
mm-hmm.
or a floral thing for a funeral with, you know, someone's obituary, that's really powerful. And there's a mantle display or something along those lines. I think that's, you know, that's really, really cool. And there's some amazing people that, for our listeners, we're going to be interviewing those people coming up. We've got a bunch of guests who do floral preservation. People have written books on this. And, you know, and businesses that is there 24/7. So look forward to them. They're going to be a great. Rachel, I'm going to throw this one to you. Small trinkets and figurines.
Okay. Well, really, really quickly before, it's kind of like half on what we were just talking about, half in trinkets. The flower preservation and at funeral, I actually was, you know, online just kind of looking for, you know, just exploring what other people have done specifically around like wedding and funeral preservation. And I did see that there was actually this one person who they had the flowers at the funeral, but then afterwards they made tiny little like keychains with petals from the flowers that were at the funeral.
Wow.
And they sent them to the people so they could have like a permanent, you know, little reminder with them that that person was always with them. And that kind of made me, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. It's such a really little detail, but something that definitely uplifts people every day that they see that item, you know?
Yeah, so no, that's great. Because I think about history, like when they tore down the Berlin Wall, everyone would take a little chunk of the concrete. And I kept thinking to myself, what would they do with that? Just stick it on the mantelpiece and be like, yeah, that's a piece of the Berlin Wall. What a better way, though, to actually encase it.
Yeah.
Or have it encased with part of it sticking out so you could touch the actual wall, but with a thing that says this is part of the Berlin Wall.
That's so cool, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just the item, it's part of the preservation. But think about trinkets and figurines. Like, I was thinking along the lines of sometimes you get stuff that isn't that valuable money-wise, but has a lot of emotional value.
Oh, yeah, definitely does.
Like, it could be something your kids had or something, right?
Yeah, or, like, even something. So, like, I have this tiny little Barbie suitcase. It's vintage. It's from, like, I think it's from before my oldest sister was born. So, made mid-80s, and it's just this, you know, kind of crappy little blue plastic suitcase. But that thing has so much sentimental value. My stuffed animals filled that suitcase, and I would take them on vacation with me, and they would have all their clothes in it. And so actually that's one of the things I was thinking about, you know, and it's not valuable. It's probably worth like 80 cents,
right?
But it means a lot to me. And if it were to ever get broken or, you know, like anything affecting it, I would be really sad. So definitely.
Yeah, that's a great one. I have stuff kicking around over the years that I've been collecting, and I always think, how do I display them? You know, what can I actually do to let people actually look and see them? And this idea of preserving them in a way where they could be either a coaster, or they could be something that you can present on a mantle, or even you could even do it where you attach a magnet to the back of it
and put it on your fridge as well. Think about that. Oh, I'm going to be making magnets.
Right, there you go, right? I think
that's
one we should have on the list as well. So for our listeners, magnets, that's another one. So we have on that list as well, glitter and sequins. Now, for coaster people out there, they're sitting there saying, and also tumbler people, right?
I was just about to say tumblers. Like, that's right up my alley. Sparkly drinks.
Yeah. Oh, no. And phones cases as well.
Like,
we actually did a class once where people were, you know, blinging up their phones, and they said the better thing about doing it with epoxy resin is the stuff doesn't fall out like it does when you just use the other glues that they've been using, where you start to lose stuff.
We're like, it's not as waterproof. Like, you know, there's like, people sometimes use Mod Podge for preserving things, right? Or like art projects, but as soon as that gets wet, it's gone.
No, exactly. So, you know, the glitter part, and I think one of the things, and again, it's a picture in the gallery on the website, there's these beautiful red coasters. They're not perfectly round. They've got a gold edging on them, and they've got sparkles and glitter in them, and they've got a beautiful red texture and color. And it's so Christmas. And I love them. And I need to get a set of them for Christmas. So I think for the Christmas table, you know, that's something. Maybe it's a project I'll do with the kids. It could just be a fun thing we actually do for Christmas. So other thoughts on glitter and sequins? What else are you thinking that we could, you know, encase in there?
You know, for glitter and sequins also, what I was thinking about, and it didn't even like occur to me until the other day. And I remember I messaged you as soon as I thought about it, but the toilet seats, I think realistically, like, you could totally put, so, okay, I'm getting off base here, but
you're not, this is one of your great ideas. And when you sent it to me, I was like, this is incredible. Tell people about the toilet seat.
Yes. So, like, I don't know. I walked into my bathroom and I was thinking, like, I've got these cute little designs here, but like, my bathroom's nothing special. You know, I'm kind of low income. I don't have like any nice towels or anything, but I was thinking, I was like, wow, like, if I had a different toilet seat, I know it sounds silly, but like, that would be a little statement piece for my bathroom. And like, think about, you know, you like lift up the, even just like both seats or just the underneath one, But like you lift up the main seat and it's just like, bam, glitter or sequins, something sparkly, you know, something to match like the shower curtain, just something to spice it up. And then when people come out of their bathroom, they're like, oh, like, that's cool. You have that. Like, I kind of want one now. And it kind of, I don't know. It's an idea, in my opinion, one of those things that like will spread like wildfire. And then I feel like in 6 months, I'm going to start seeing resin-made toilet seats.
You know, I actually wasn't even thinking about the seat, just the seat, something about the lid as well. Like you could have it on both sides of the lid, you know, and it could, you could actually do, like you said, it could be like a little bit of a statement piece, something restaurants or bars could actually do as well, which would be really cool.
I would love to walk into like a little, like a salon or something like that. And then their bathroom, it's just like pink glitter. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. It could really be, you could do a Barbie toilet or something like that. And then onto wood pieces. So we were talking in our last episode about river tables. With wood, what you have to do, you have to seal it first because it's kind of porous. So it's best to seal it first. We have products that actually seal as well before you actually do the casting and put the color in and create that river table look.
Yeah.
Wood pieces, it's really great for that. We talked also about charcuterie boards as well. And how you can actually do that, which is going to get us onto our next item around that. But with the river tables, when you get a table sealed, one of the beauties of river tables, and this is what people sometimes miss, is that one, it's this epoxy resin's really clean and food safe. So you can eat direct off the table if you wanted. The other side of that, and this is where it gets really interesting, is if it gets damaged, it's very easily fixed.
Yep, I was just thinking about that. You get a scratch, a little nick on the corner, you can just smooth it out.
Yeah, you can actually just reheat the resin and it will actually self-heal. And that's pretty amazing to be able to do that. Plus, talk about a statement. Having a huge dinner table that's a river table would just be, I would probably not leave the table for just staring at it the whole time. And
oh my
things
gosh,
you can put in their memory items and all that as well. That's huge. But I'm going to throw it to you, Rachel, with the seashells and beach sand, about that project you did with the charcuterie board.
Well, I had some leftover sand from Mexico like 2 years ago when I went for my birthday.
Again, a memory piece.
Yep. So it kind of a little bit of everything in one. But like, just with the versatility and like, you know, how you can choose any color, how you can, and like, that's the cool thing about epoxy. You can really add any color to it. So, when I was like making this, I was like, you know, I'm going to add some of that sand in here. And I had previously done that with an art project, but it wasn't sealed. And to this day, it's up on my wall. And if anything touches it, the sand like falls off.
There you go. Right.
But that's the cool thing about the resin is when I, you know, splashed that in there, it just kind of like laid in and then treated it. Bam, smooth. You've got this beautiful beach texture. It's like got these nice wavy lines. It looks like splashing waves on the, you know, on the shore. And it was just really cool. And I like that you can incorporate the natural aspects of it without messing up the integrity of the project that you're trying to, you know, create, like the end product, right?
Yeah, and I think you'll hear us, for our listeners, talk about charcuterie boards from here to eternity because they're awesome. Like the ability to do a big cutting board with even partial wood, partial epoxy, so you can put the food on the epoxy part because it's food safe, and then use the board part for cutting where you actually, the board's more resistant to cutting, and then the patterns, the beach, whatever you want. It could be a memory thing again. Let's say your favorite holiday vacation is like Mexico, right? You could have some little Mexican trinkets and some things that always remind you of the place you went for vacation in Mexico.
Yep.
Yeah, just they're great
all
items.
Those seashells. Personally, too, here maybe somebody in the audience, maybe some of you guys will agree with me, but I love bones. I think that they're beautiful. I think that they're super interesting and like talk about, you know, preserving history. Like that's, don't know, bones are historical no matter whose bones they are.
Right.
And when I went to Mexico, I found a bunch of them. And that's something I would really like to do, is like create like, you know, maybe like a little charcuterie board with like some of those bones in it. No, that sounds gross, but I'm a fan of the macabre. So
there you go.
Maybe someone will agree with me.
I think there will be. Everyone has their own. Now, the next one was paper items like maps and tickets. We talked about how I put within my hole in one my actual scorecard. And the scorecard actually preserved really well. So you could see the map of the hole and a few of the scores on the other side. So that was really cool. But yeah, I've seen people do these maps, especially because maps are becoming digitized. Some of the memories people had of writing on their maps about where they went for vacation and marking the favorite spots that they had. And again, that's the sort of memory piece you could give to grandma and grandpa. It's always hard when you get older, right? What do you buy people who really don't want much?
Yeah.
They want something that's heartfelt, right?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. It is hard to get my grandpa a gift.
Yeah, I bet.
He always says he doesn't want anything. And I'm like, grandpa, come on, give me ideas. But the like more homemade things or just more sentimental items, I feel like are so much more meaningful the older you get too.
Then insects. I think one of the first things I saw encased in resin was insects. So they'd have the spiders and the beetles, and you still find them. If you drive along the 40 or the 80 across America, you'll stop at these little towns. Some of them are Indian reservation towns. Others are, you know, just trinket stores. And they always have scorpions encased in resin, spiders encased in resin. And I think to this day, they're still a hugely popular thing for people to have kicking around, because you could hold it and pretty much see a 360 of the insect without having to touch the insect.
Exactly. And you know it's dead.
It ain't going anywhere.
It's not going to hurt you. I don't know if you guys have ever seen, like I live in Arizona. I was born and raised in Arizona. So anytime I go to a gas station, almost every time there's a little scorpion lollipop, and that's not resin, but I just think it's interesting how humans, like we all seem to be so collectively fascinated with preservation.
You know? That's a very good point. I never thought of those lollipops, that they actually took the resin idea and made it into a lollipop, something.
Yep. And then it's like, talk about food safe. You can actually eat it.
Yeah. Although when you get down to the insect part, I'm not sure if I'm staying with that at that point.
People do that. I'm not so much. I've eaten a cricket, like a flavored cricket.
Yeah.
But it was sour cream and onion, but I don't think I could ever. I'll stick to encasing them in resin.
Yeah, I need to see one of those online to know that actually works. And then non-perishable food items, which brings us to our last fun fact. Okay, fire away with this one. This one blew me away.
Yes, I'm excited for this one. So it's about the preserved McDonald's burger and fries. So even though it's not particularly expensive, one of the most famous examples of food preservation in resin was at McDonald's in 2019. So an Icelandic man displayed the last McDonald's meal sold in the country before the chain's departure in 2009. He preserved it in a glass box. So it does.
No, it was. It was resin, but they put glass around it. That's.
Oh, I don't know why, okay. Perfect.
Yes.
That's even better.
Instead of using like a silicone mold, they actually used a glass box for it.
Okay.
They just poured the resin into the box with the burger and fries in there.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh, my brain. That took a while for that full picture to come together.
Now, when I first read it, I was like, are you kidding? They did that. And they just did it because they kicked McDonald's out of the country after that. This is the last one they're ever going to make here. Get out. You know,
and the crazy thing is I'm pretty sure those things already last a good amount of time without any kind of preservation. Yeah,
that'd be the scary part, right?
But now, like, you could put that, think about that, like, thousands of years from now, they find a time capsule with a McDonald's burger in perfect condition.
I know, and they're like, what were they thinking? Yeah. So, yeah, so there's some of the fun things. We'd love to hear from you, our audience, on things that you want or are making and encasing in resin. And again, we've got some great guests coming up on the show in the next few episodes. So listen in for that. Follow us online, anywhere the podcasts are heard, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, everywhere. And yeah, Rachel, let's keep this conversation going online with other people who've got some great ideas for us to include as well that we maybe missed.
Yeah. And I would absolutely love if some people find their own fun facts and share them so that we can share them with all of you, because I'm addicted to fun facts. I have ADHD that gets my brain going. Love that. It's my favorite thing. And I'll bring more too with me.
Well, that's great. Yeah, exactly. So until next time, you know, join us on Resin Mastery, Explore, and iCode Epoxy. Check out the gallery for some of the fun things that we've talked about here today. And we look forward to hearing from you again. See you next time.
See you next time, guys. Thank you.